Why are businesses like HelloVet choosing Apple products and services?
So we started the business 2 years ago. We had a few people who were used to PCs, and this was their first foray into Macs. But it's been super smooth getting everyone onto those devices, and everyone seems really, really happy.
Find out how Mac can help you run and grow your business at apple.co/HelloVet.
Get a free bet when you bet £5 every week of the Premier League season and a big boost every day. That's Ladisfaction from Ladbrokes. And for extra Ladisfaction, here's the T's and C's garage style.
18 plus, 1st of September to 24th of May. Opt-in weekly. Selected Premier League markets. Match one free bet per week. Values vary. Restrictions and T&Cs apply. Daily odds boosts. T&Cs on ladbrokes.com. Gambleaware.org.
There are some things you should always check, like the hygiene rating on your local takeaway, the setting on your razor, and whether the party actually is fancy dress. The other thing you should check is your Experian credit report, especially if you're looking to borrow money. It lets you understand what lenders see, so you can increase your chances of getting the best deals. It's dead easy to check it, and completely free. See it in seconds. Download the Experian app today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dose Adjustment.
I'm starting to feel tired. I don't have energy. My libido is dropped.
What do you define as performance?
Good, but there is a litany of health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're not treating numbers. We're treating people. So statistically, the odds of them raising it back up are not that great. You've got to know what you put in your body, right? At the end of the day, human performance is that individual human.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dose Adjustment. My name is Chris Hasenauer. I'm a physician assistant and doctoral fellow in behavioral medicine. I'm here with my partner.
Yeah, co-host Amir Rahimi, doctor of pharmacy, run a couple of compounding pharmacies here on the Treasure Coast. Also have a lot of interest in anti-aging, medicine, all the things that Chris and I talk about all the time on the back line. And happy to finally get together on camera and have this conversation. So, you know, one of the things that I encounter every day, and I know you do as well, is people have just so many questions around testosterone and testosterone therapy. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? The bros at the gym are like, yes, you have to do it. Primary care physicians are, you know, cautious, I will say. And it's just creating a ton of confusion out there. So I'm really excited today to talk through some of that, get your opinion. I'll share mine and do our best we can to educate you guys.
All right, let's jump in.
Yeah, right on. So maybe just take us back a little bit about testosterone. What is it, the primary role of testosterone in males from, you know, puberty, you know, on through adulthood?
All right. Well, testosterone is primarily what we consider a male hormone. But that said, males and females have all of these hormones. They do different things in all of our bodies. But what does testosterone do for us? I mean, it's basically the matchstick to puberty, right? You get muscle mass, you get your voice changes, you grow body hair, all the different things everybody knows. But it initiates a lot of different processes, and those processes, that's why teenagers feel so good. That's why they're so athletic. They do the things that they do as you're younger, because your testosterone levels and your hormone levels are optimized.
Right on.
And as we age, that kind of goes away. And there's a lot of different reasons for it, right? So depending on what profession you're in, that can happen faster, or it can be related to trauma. It can relate a litany of different things, but that's why each patient, you know, we do their labs, we do all the individual things, and we dial it in for the individual patient.
Yeah. And so, like, the conversation that I have with my patients is that testosterone is peaking anywhere between like 19 and 27 years of age. Is that a fair assessment, or what do you counsel patients to?
Absolutely. No, I think that it, you know, I think one of the best things you can do, like if you're a dad out there for your teenage son, is get him a baseline testosterone.
Right on.
Like, get it drawn. Like, doctors may not do it, but find it, just pay cash. It's not a big deal. Hey, this is what your testosterone was when you're 18, 19 years old. So you have a baseline of where you were at.
Yeah. Such a great point. Cause I had no idea. Right. Yeah. I think when I stumbled into your office, whatever it was, 7, 8, 9 years ago, I had no idea that was the first testosterone reading I'd ever got. So, you know, understanding where I've shifted and gone down over time, and all of us as men, as we get older, after those peak levels, we do decline. So,
and pretty much the working rule of thumb is about 1% per year after 30.
Right on.
Right. But then there's other things caveat that, like, what we find in military veterans, first responders, is that happens much faster.
Okay.
Shift work, stress events, rest of your pituitary gland, your cortisol levels go up. Cortisol and testosterone are diametrically opposed. So how do we balance it out? What do we do? So, I mean, on the pharmacokinetic side, let's back up a little bit. Testosterone is a cholesterol hormone base that we have. It runs with estrogen like a scale. So guys have lots of testosterone, do a little bit of estrogen to feel optimized out. There's other hormones in there, FSH, LH, our pituitary gland, but I mean, we're not diving into an anatomy lesson. We're just trying to clear some stuff. But when you balance those things, you feel good, right? I mean, there's mental clarity, you get rid of brain fog. I mean, it has antidepressant effects. There's a litany of things that we need to take into account.
Well, let's jump into that a little bit. So when the questions start to arise in men, when they're calling the store, they come to the counter, they're saying, you know, I'm starting to feel tired. I don't have energy. My libido has dropped noticeably. If you look at pictures or them verbally telling you, noticeably they're decreased in muscle,
mm-hmm.
right, over time. And these are the main reasons that individuals are seeking,
mm-hmm.
you know, advice from you and advice from me. So for those men, like what's the conversation or how do you open it up with them?
So we talk about a few things. So one, we kind of go over, like, okay, where are you at? Like, and really, like, labs tell the tale, but you're talking about physiological low, right? So you're going to have fatigue. You have decreased libido. You may have erectile dysfunction, right? You're going to lose muscle mass. And then when you talk about, like, men starting to develop breast tissue, these different things, because testosterone and estrogen don't just balance immediately.
Right.
So when you have this testosterone, your estrogen is running unopposed, right? Your testosterone is dropping. Your estrogen is still high. You store estrogen in body fat. So as you gain body fat, you can aromatize estrogen out into your body. So you can take those levels up.
Yeah.
And you start to feel the effects. I mean, whatever, you can call it menopause or whatever you want to call it, but that you will feel it. And, you know, given the fact that we're not trying to take you to be a WWE wrestler, right? That's not the goal. The goal is to say, what is an optimized level of hormone replacement that puts you, you know, like anything pharmaceutical, right? You want the lowest possible dose to reach the effect desired with the least number of side effects.
Absolutely.
And that's the goal. That's good medicine.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back to the same thing where you're talking about primary care providers. So, like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, because there's this stigma around it. The stigma from the 80s that kind of came with all these things that we're like, okay, well, what's the deal here? And it does matter, because what is the best thing for the patient? And medicine, I think you think this is the same, it's kind of the same way I do. Medicine went from do no further harm to don't get sued.
Is exactly what I was going to say. It's totally cover your ass.
Yeah. Instead of, like, hey, what's the best thing for this patient? Be like, all right. So you got a guy, you know, I'll use my dad as an example. Mm-hmm. My dad, 60 years old, put him on HRT. My dad was pretty, sorry, dad, he was fat, yeah. right? He was not in good shape. And so his thing is, like, I want to do this. I want to go hike the Appalachian Trail. I'm going to go and do these things. Well, he's on his HRT. He goes, hikes the Appalachian Trail. He looks like 70 pounds. I mean, granted, great thing, but his life and, like, his activity level from 60 to 72 has been completely different because of balancing his hormones compared to what it was like from 50 to 60.
Yeah.
Like, it was life changing.
And for me, like, that is the greatest benefit. Like what you just said there, like, he wanted to go hike the Appalachian Trail, right?
Yeah.
At that age. And that if we can replace testosterone and give people the ability to do that in a really safe way, That is huge. It's life changing. It's why I'm such a huge fan of proper testosterone replacement.
Well, and I think that's what you and I are doing. I think that what we're talking about here at the end of the day, we're talking about human performance medicine. We're talking about what is your level, what do you define as performance? And that's different for every individual. Like, if you're 75 years old, human performance, maybe if I fall down, I want to be able to get back up.
Yep.
Right. That's what we're looking at. But if you're 40 and, you know, you're wanting to do X, Y, Z, and you're now having these effects, like, and okay, law enforcement, firefighters, all right, these things start happening, then their shift work messes up their pituitary gland. They're not processing the hormones appropriately. How do we take them back where, one, they're functional on the job and they're not a liability, and giving them the assets to do that? Because all of those things are assets. I mean, the military doing it. I mean, there's so much, and then we're just talking about males today. I mean, when we dive into the other side of the female stuff, it's a whole other thing, but it is that. It is human performance.
Yeah. Now, you don't really want, I was hugely skeptical, is kind of your standard American pharmacist at Walgreens when it comes to testosterone. Like, was it just to put on muscle and develop those more manly characteristics later in life, it really wasn't enough for me, right? And so I, you know, geek out the way that I do, really diving into the science. And we'll get into a little bit. We're not going to go deep into it, but there is a litany of health benefits. And, you know, I talk a lot about metabolic health and preventing diabetes and ultimately, you know, preventing cancer and neurodegenerative diseases and whatnot. And there's really, really good information out there that suggests that men who are clinically, right, and we'll define that in a minute, but clinically deficient in testosterone can hugely benefit from replacement therapy. So we might have different standards there, but when we say clinically deficient, what does that look like from a lab work perspective?
Okay, for our, the way that we run it in our practice, and we've gone through our protocols with our medical director, and that's the thing about medicine. Medicine is an art and a science, right? That's the thing that people forget. Like, we stop listening to, you know, like, it's science, well, there's an art to it because you're treating an individual, and an anatomy textbook's only 70% correct. Like, for, you know, there's so much variation in human beings, right? That we didn't have that, right? So we have to treat the individual, and you've got your parameters, but we're not treating numbers, we're treating people.
Right.
So if you have a guy and say your base testosterone at 18 was 900 and now you drop to 450, you're going to feel that.
Hugely
impactful. But a guy that his base testosterone at 18 was 650, and drop for, it's not gonna be the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. So you're talking about fatigue, you're talking about those symptoms. Like, so you're taking numbers and you're taking symptom profile and you're taking even, all right, what are they doing? I mean, you don't want to discount the gym. I'm not saying you're going to go be a bodybuilder, but you're saying, okay, I was doing X, Y, Z, and now I am limited by this. Or, you know, my own personal opinion with it, I mean, how much of it is hormones in our food? How much of it is our diet change? How much is the chemicals that we've been ingesting? Because there are so many metabolic and hormonal syndromes that just didn't really exist years ago. But then, you know, so like all that stuff, I mean, it's a whole other episode, but we'll get into that too. But yeah, so I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah. So just to dive into that a little bit deeper, you know, if we look, I don't have the data in front of me, but there's really good studies to suggest that the testosterone that our grandfathers had at age 38 is remarkably different than what our testosterone was at 38.
Oh, I'm actually seeing it clinically.
Right.
So I've got enough guys, enough the clinical, you know, I mean, they're anecdotal, but they're in my clinic data points where I can take a guy that's 23, 24 years old and he'll have a testosterone of 420.
Wow.
And I'm testing 65-year-olds that are still at 750.
Yeah.
Right. So when we look at that, it's like, okay, there's something there. Right. Because, and it's not like they're not athletes. I mean, both of these, you know, in these cases, again, anecdotal, but in these cases, they're both high performing athletes.
So what's your opinion? Like what's the difference? You know, we go 50 years ago to today, like what's the difference in these people and why is testosterone dropping naturally at a much earlier age?
So I think it's a few things. I think it's sleep. I think sleep drives a train on everything we do. I think if you think about like generationally, your grandfather's, they still worked on a circadian rhythm cycle.
Right on.
You know, like they were like, okay, it's dark. I mean, I know my grandfather, like living up in the mountains in North Carolina, got dark, you know, kind of bedtime. It's bedtime, whatever, right? Yep. So now we're blue light. We're doing all of these different things. We mess up our circadian shift work. Like I'll go back to my law enforcement first responder guys, military guys. Yep. Okay, you know, you're going to work on night shift. You're going to do this thing. You're going to see stressful events. So we're going to raise cortisol up, right? Well, you know, sleep affects your pituitary gland, your RAS cycle, you know, all the things that go into that. And we start developing and there's a cascade of like, okay, this thing's broken. So I'm going to kind of fix it with this thing and I'm going to add this, but I didn't really fix this. And you know, it's cobbled together.
Yep.
And then diet, supplement, all of these different things. I mean, like there's I've definitely been victim of a crappy diet and all the things and got fat, worked it back down and all the different things, but it all of the stuff, what you put in your body matters. Yeah. So it is that.
Yeah, I think the stress piece for sure, working overnight, go back to 2010, 2012, I was working as a daytime pharmacist and an overnight pharmacist, just working like crazy, making the money. And, you know, I put on about 30 pounds worth of weight, muscle mass went down. And like, we had tremendous trouble even getting pregnant, you know, just speaking to those circadian rhythms being off. As soon as I came off of shift work, like we said, okay, we're going to slow down. We're going to start a family. Got back to the gym. We went super deep into like sleep regimen, sleep prescriptions, which we should talk about on a future episode. But amazingly, like a decent amount of weight came off right away. The muscle mass came back and we got pregnant in like just a month or two of getting back to normal sleep again. So
absolutely. I mean, I had something similar. Like my testosterone was running about 750, 760 when I was active duty at JSOC and got off active duty, went and dealt with COVID like everybody else, retested, and I was like 410.
Wow.
In like an 18-month period. And, you know, just the stress, all the different things that happened, it kind of dumped everything. It's just super interesting to watch, but it happened very quickly.
Yeah.
Now, you know, kind of going back into what you're talking about with the pregnancy thing, I mean, let's talk about that. So this needs to be addressed. So there's a lot of, if you're on testosterone for more than 2 years, you are reducing your chances of having children without a doubt. Right. Like that is, you know, so I mean, we'll get into some side effects stuff. So, I mean, younger guys, I mean, it's a big decision. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a family, you're 35, 36 years old, you've got all your kids, you're not having any more kids, had a vasectomy, whatever. That's a completely different decision than a 23-year-old. Like you got low T and like you're feeling the symptoms, but so it has to be something that's very,
yeah. So walk us through that a little bit. You get a, you know, the difference between getting that 24-year-old into the office. What are you recommending or what are you prescribing to them versus the 36-year-old who's done having kids?
Initially, lifestyle modification.
Okay.
It was like, hey, you smoke, you drink, you stay up all night, you XYZ, you don't really work out. Let's start with that and retest it. Just see if like eating high protein and doing squats brings up, because building leg muscle mass, I mean, is shown to raise testosterone without a doubt. Like, diet, you know, I mean, we talked about all the things we need. I mean, you know, what do we got? We need vitamin K2, vitamin D, ashwagandha, yep. These different supplements. DHEA, yeah, yep. DHA, all the, and those are supplements you can take. They'll raise your testosterone. Now, is it as much as like an injection? Absolutely not. But if you're going to get up, if you're going to raise it and change the lifestyle, absolutely.
Yeah. I remember back to some of the first visits you and I had, you know, we'd say clinically low, you know, testosterone and whatnot. And so I think he said the same exact thing to me, vitamin D, vitamin K2, lifting heavy is what you said back in the day, right? And I think it was what, 3 months, 6 months, retested after taking those supplements, working my ass off in the gym. And we were up about 25%, 25 to 28% just from doing those things. So let's switch gears. So 36 to 42-year-old, they walk in the office, typical maybe firefighter, cop, you know, high stress. And what is that conversation?
It's kind of same. We kind of go down the road of, hey, look, like the odds. So statistically, the odds of them raising it back up are not that great,
right?
They're going to go after it, but your body's just not making it, right? You don't have, the factory's not really there. Like your pituitary gland isn't really telling the FSH, LH to do their thing. They're not going to the testes. The factory's not on the same way. It's just not there, right? So you have this balancing act.
Yeah.
Now I will absolutely tell them, hey, try this stuff first. If it works, it works. Let's you know, so I'm very much a 90-day tester, you know, like until I get you stabilized. Like I'm going to check your labs every 3 months. And when we stabilize you out, awesome. You know, like, and some guys, rarely you have an older guy that, yeah, it works for him.
Yep.
But, you know, probably 95% of the time they're like, okay, I got here. It was a little bit better. And then they're like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. So what's really going to happen with your testosterone? Honestly, like we're going to put you on an injection. If you stop, it's going to go a little lower. Mm-hmm. Right. But if we do a test run of it for 6 months, you're not going to be much lower than you already were. So it's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to me? I'm going to feel like you're going to feel like you do now.
Right.
Like that's what's going to happen. Like if we stop, you're going to feel like you do now. So there's all of that. Now there's other things. So you talk about those younger guys and we'll dive into kind of the enclomiphene conversation here in a second, but like, yeah, so there's a mixed mosh of that. And then, you know, obviously we can't have this conversation without talking side effects. You know, like there are side effects to doing this. We are altering and putting a chemical in your body for a desired effect. But whenever we do that, whether it's testosterone, aspirin, or crack, you're changing the game, like whatever you're putting in there. You gotta know what you're putting in your body, right?
Absolutely.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just speaking into the void? But with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers, a network of 130 million of them, in fact. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, role, seniority, skills, company revenue, and did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. Spend £200 on your first campaign and get a £200 credit for the next one. Go to linkedin.com/lead to claim your offer. Terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely. All right. So let's dive into some of the benefits and risk factors. And again, this is where I kind of geek out a little bit, because as a pharmacist, we were so focused for so many years on Reducing cardiovascular risk, reducing diabetes, reducing, blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, right, why we do that, we don't want cancer. Mm-hmm. We don't want neurodegenerative disease. We don't want to die of a heart attack or have our legs cut off due to uncontrolled diabetes.
Absolutely.
So, that's been my world for so long. And so, just quickly, we looked at a couple of studies that had clinically low testosterone in men, and then they looked at a couple of different parameters over a 5-year time span. Mm-hmm. It's an observation study, so of course it's not randomized, double blind. Mm-hmm. It's not the best study in the mm-hmm. world. Which you'll find in the testosterone space, there's actually a lack of really good studies. Uh-huh. And we can talk about that more later. But when you look at every single group in every major category over a 5-year period of time, we saw dramatic decreases in weight, waist circumference, blood pressure, blood sugar, A1C, and I mean significant 1.2-1.3% drops in A1C, taking them from being diabetic
to not being diabetic. And I see that in clinic constantly, and I'm all about that. I was like, my prescription day one is like, go to the gym and change your diet.
Yep.
Like, let's talk about that, right? Because, well, okay, so you're looking at all those things. You're looking at diabetes. You're looking at how much of it is, the metabolic syndromes, all these things that come, but also, my own soapbox about journals and studies, so many of them are pay for play.
Sure.
That you can't get, like, if it's not the New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA,
yep.
What's your guys' pharmaceutical, version, but you have the pharmacist version of the same thing, but if it's basically not the big four, it's pay for play. So then you're like, who backed the study? We're like, oh, well, the testosterone study you just looked at was paid for by Lipitor.
Right.
Right. Yeah, 100%. So who did it? That's your other thing. Right. So, but when you watch people and you get them in there and you talk them through if you make them understand and you have a very candid conversation about the risk reward and you have that talk with your patient, you let them decide. It's like, this is not for everybody 100%, but if it is for you, it can help you.
What do you think, if any, is the influence of the government in these studies or either pro or against testosterone or strong men in the U.S.? Do you think there's anything there, any connection?
I think that there's obviously stuff that dates back to the DEA in the 80s, and there was that road rage incident case. They look at this case, and then you kind of look at the case law on it, and they just made this decision based on the testimony, not science, right. And so it's an emotionally based decision. So I think you need to go back and look at it. And it changed the game. But just look at talking about the women's hormone replacement, how many years was that just completely taboo? And now you look at the changes the VA just did their own study of women's hormone replacement, mm-hmm. and female veterans 40 to 64 had a 47% suicide risk reduction by optimizing their hormones. I mean, that's massive.
Yeah.
So wow. And that's the VA. The federal government study, and they're publishing out something like, okay, what have we been doing all this time? Now, again, it has to be the right clinical decision for the patient, and patients need information, and you can get the information anywhere. So you have to really, where you're talking about I'm not saying Google it, ChatGPT it, and go buy your testosterone online. I think you need to make that because the labs tell the tale, and this is the perfect time to dive into what are the risks kind of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. You brought up the whole underground thing. I think I was naive for a lot of years and just not understanding how the steroid game worked or testosterone worked. It seems and I'm talking to people, and I'm sure you have the same experience, patients are dramatically honest with us, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, anything from recreational drug use to testosterone, mm-hmm. to buying illegal drugs. They have the trust with us. They know that we're not going to share that, but it is extremely easy to get varieties of testosterone in any gym in America.
Absolutely.
And they have a wide range of results. They mm-hmm. come in different concentrations. I've heard everything from it's amazing and I feel great to it put me in the hospital.
Absolutely.
So I was naive in that point, but recommendations always work with a licensed healthcare professional, of course.
Because you're watching, you're doing the same thing, you're balancing. So I can take two patients, same size, same body habits, whatever. And this guy may need 200 a week, guy may need 100, but then I've had patients walk in, same kind of thing you're talking about. I was like, how much are you taking? I take 600 milligrams of testosterone a week. I was like, holy shit, you're going to die.
Yeah.
We need to have a very long conversation about this. So,
right on. Just one last mention on the study, right? tremendously, overwhelmingly amazing results. They had two arms of the study, the obvious observational study, of course, but individuals who had to discontinue testosterone for whatever reason, right, whether it be cost or insurance issues. And what we found is all those parameters that we mentioned, lower blood pressure, lower blood sugar, there was even beneficial cholesterol impacts, which we don't see in every study, right? That's like a mixed bag on the study. Sometimes cholesterol gets better. Some small studies have suggested cholesterol gets worse. I think it's neutral.
I genetically have the cholesterol of a cheeseburger. So like I will, but it's genetic, you know, I see it all the time. So it's like, I draw my cholesterol. And I'm like,
yeah. You know, but I was highly skeptical of the study. It's like, well, what if they started on statins or blood pressure meds or whatever it might be. But it was very clear that when they stopped testosterone, the waist circumference went up, the A1Cs went up. Right. So anyways, I think that was like the light bulb moment for me was testosterone. Like, yes, you're going to put on more muscle. Yes, you're going to have better quality of life. Yes, you're going to have better mental clarity. But there is a health component that really needs to be discussed here. And I think that primary care physicians do people a disservice when they just carte blanche,
dismiss it. And I do too. And I think that that kind of falls back into the idea of medicine as a business, where you look at it like, how many big hospital systems, primary care, immediately refer for everything.
Right.
Oh, you want to do that? Go to the endocrinologist. You want to do that? Go to the cardiologist. So now we have these subspecialties. Like, instead of just a mechanic, you don't have anybody like speaking the same language as a patient.
Yeah.
And that matters.
Right on. Well, let's transition a little bit to some of the bigger concerns around hormone replacement therapy in men, specifically testosterone. And we've talked a little bit about what is theoretical, you know, and what we know, and then what we actually see in clinical practice. As well. So, you know, just off the top of my head, the two things that come to mind when I'm talking to providers who aren't large testosterone, you know, providers, but is cardiovascular risk and prostate cancer, right? So speak to that a little bit. What do you see in clinical practice? I can share a little bit on what we've seen in the studies. Studies are kind of underpowered or not where they need to be yet, but let's talk
about that. So cardiovascular risk. All right, so you are talking about muscle development, right?
Yep.
Your heart's a muscle. So you could have some hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, some of those things, but that's also because their dose is wrong, right? Like, it's the same kind of thing. It has to be controlled, right? You're looking at symptom for that. Polycythemia, right? So polycythemia is the biggest one.
Sure.
Right? So you're going to have this. So to make muscle, you're going to make extra red blood cells, right? So testosterone is going to turn that on. And that's one of the kind of young man things that it turns back on that our body's still not great at filtering out, right? So like, red blood cell lasts about 90 to 120 days, and then our body breaks it down and gets rid of it. Yeah. But our breakdown cycle, we don't really have a way to address that when we turn back on the production.
Right.
So we get more red blood cells. So yes. So what is, you know, therapeutic phlebotomy is the answer to that. I mean, you can bring the dose down, but really it becomes down to therapeutic phlebotomy and finding, you know, the hemoglobin, hematocrit, all those things. So that's one. That's typically the first thing I see. And it's about a 60-40, whether they get it or not. Like, a lot of guys don't get it at all. And then there's guys that 3 months on, they're making red blood cells.
And so I know that you recommend that your patients go and give blood every so often, but is there some sort of clinical benefit to that? That increase in hematocrit and hemoglobin, like,
well,
is there something there?
Well, what you're getting is muscle growth.
Right.
You're getting all of those things. So you are getting that, but like, it's that side effect you got to manage because it becomes, you know, something good, too much of a good thing, right?
Yep.
So what is really interesting to watch with these guys is when they go give blood, their performance actually goes up.
Really?
Because now you think of it, okay, the circuit switch system is just the same as a plumbing system.
Sure.
Right? You have a high pressure line. You have a high pressure line that's going in your heart. Yep. You have a low pressure drain field, your veins. They're handing over nutrients in the lungs and all that stuff. But that circuit, that pressurized system has an optimal flow rate. I mean, basic fluid dynamics, right?
Yep.
So if you optimize that flow rate, you get best results.
Right on. You know? Right on. Well, so, you know, as I do, I dig into the research a little bit. I look for studies. And
you
so,
are a nerd.
Yeah, I am a geek out on a little bit. But one study that, you know, continues to be brought up to me by physicians is this one out of the VA. And so the title of it is The Association of Testosterone Therapy with Mortality, MI, and Stroke in Men with Lower Testosterone Levels. Mm-hmm. And they looked at 8,700 men. When you actually look at the data, 10% of the people were women in the study, which completely doesn't make sense based on the name of it. But they cited this study a lot, and I pulled the raw data, and there's been a ton of criticism mm-hmm. about this. I'm certainly not the first person to criticize it. And even the FDA ultimately dismissed the study as just not relevant, mm-hmm. right? But physicians today in 2025 still cite this study. And so if we look at the actual results, the people in the testosterone arm had a 50% reduction in death rate and MI rate compared to people who did not have testosterone on board. Again, clinically deficient people. And the authors of this particular study, they use their statistical analysis to try to account for everything. And they somehow flipped the script that there was a 29% increase in likelihood for a cardiovascular event if on testosterone. When you look at the data, it is overwhelmingly positive. Now, can we say today with any sort of confidence that it's beneficial to cardiovascular health? I don't think we have that data.
No.
We can say that the metabolic profile of the patient is tremendously improved, right? If they're taking testosterone and doing the right things actively, you know, in life. But that study was majorly debunked. And then there was a smaller study where it also showed increased risk of cardiovascular events, but the events were not what I would call a major event. So heart palpitations, pedal edema, right? And the last one I'm blanking on right now, but there really hasn't been a study out there that clearly definitively proves that there is an increased cardiovascular risk, is my assessment based on the data. But what do you see clinically?
So I don't see necessarily increased cardiovascular risk. I definitely haven't seen it in my patients. Now, you know, your patient profiles, your profile in my practice is basically veterans and first responders and, you know, like a lot of people that are going to use exercise, diet, all these things. So like I said, all studies are skewed. So it's kind of like when you talk about people with high cholesterol, let's just use this as an example. High cholesterol, if you're sitting in a recliner eating Cheetos and you weigh 400 pounds, and high cholesterol, if you're on the keto diet and you're the winner of the CrossFit games, are not the same thing.
Right on.
Yep. You know, so it's not apples and apples here. Like you're comparing apples and oranges because it's, you know, you get this again the profile, but like, okay, so how many of these guys were like, they've gotten, you know, they've already lost a foot to diabetes. They're doing it. Okay, we're gonna have testosterone in your regimen. Well, did they monitor it? Did they treat the polycythemia? Did they work with the estrogen levels? What was, you know, all of these things. So there's so much stuff that's
really great point. And the dosing was super wacky on some of this stuff too. Everything from oral testosterone to in one of these studies, they were giving 200 milligrams every 2 months, which is completely subclinical. But I guess I understand the economics of it. You know, they've got to give the dose, you know, so they got to bring people in, they got to rent space in the hospital. Definitely a lot of factors there. So, and then in 2024, New England Journal of Medicine had a really good synopsis. And I encourage everybody to read it. We'll put the reference into the show notes and it'll be there. So, what else? What have we missed? Again, I want to answer that question for that individual who's considering HRT, for that wife who has concerns about HRT, for individuals who are maybe still on the fence about being pregnant. What have we missed here?
Okay, so I think we just kind of respect, what do we got? Depending on your age, your criteria are different. Right. Your risk profiles are different. And you just have to talk to your provider, go through the things. Like younger guys, you need to do some real hard thinking about before you do this, especially before you buy it online. Because you want to save your sterility. You may want to have kids, you know, all those things. Middle age, let's say 36 to 45. Like where are you at? What are you doing? You know, and how much of it can you fix with diet and exercise before we go down this road? Like, so those things, you get a guy in their 60s. Hey, guess what, man? You're probably not going to make it anymore. The factory's closed.
Right.
Do you want to go on this? And so what do? We monitor your prostate. You know, the link between prostate cancer is tenuous at best. Same kind of study. So when but we monitor it. And it is a clinical decision between a provider and the patient. And, you know, we can go through all the things and that's the decision the patient needs to make. And that's the thing that we're doing here because we're at the end of the day, human performance is that individual human, right? I'm not making everybody Michael Jordan. Like I said, if your thing is, I just want to be able to walk back and forth in my house and go up the stairs and do that thing, that's your thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's it. I think that kind of covers down on all of it. It's get the information and make a valid clinical decision with your doc and your pharmacist.
Yeah, 100%. One question I get quite often, and even personal with some family members and whatnot, who are experiencing small episodes of cancer, whether it be bladder cancer or something of that nature, but we also see, you know, muscle wasting. And I've kind of always been in the camp of, you know, TRT is probably not right for you. And it could be a deeper conversation with a provider, but where do you fall on that?
So with the patients that I have that have developed a cancer, we stop the TRT.
I'm asking pre-TRT starting, right? Okay, so an individual, they're 71, 72, you know, they've had a dramatic drop off in muscle. Mm-hmm. Visually, they need help lifting things all of a sudden, people that are very capable their entire life, mm-hmm. right? And all of a sudden they can't get a folding table out of the truck mm-hmm. on their own.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're dealing with the other healthcare issues. Like,
so I don't think you want to throw any fuel in the fire, but I've also had patients where they know they have cancer. We've talked the risk benefits and saying, okay, this is what this will do for you. This is where it's going to make it worse. You know, I get all of those different things. And I, medicine is a personalized thing. You arm the patient with all of the clinical information that you can, you work through understanding, and then you make the judgment calls in conjunction with the patient. You're not just like, oh, here's your meds, whatever, go forth and do great stuff. Right. Like,
yep.
We forget how much information that we do hold in our brains when you talk to your patients and how important it is to have these conversations, which is the whole point of what we're doing here.
Sure.
We want to stimulate those things. I don't want it to be a doctoral level. Hey, let's have a conversation. I want you to understand it.
Yeah.
I don't need you to understand the organic chemistry of it or the biochemistry of it, but I do need you to understand this is the nuts and bolts of how it works. And this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, let's close out here in a minute. Maybe you can just share, one patient success story or somebody that you've seen has had a dramatic turnaround, you know, and maybe speak to it from a work, father, husband perspective and how it's been a dramatic change for them.
So I have hundreds of HRT patients at this point, and I think of all the people we've started on it, and like I said, the way we do their labs and the profiles that the way that we work with them, I've maybe had 15 over the whole course of time I've been this that stopped or like, okay, that wasn't for me, or I'm not getting any benefit, or I don't feel like XYZ, right? And it could be for whatever reason, but that fit, because typically what I see is they lose weight, they gain energy, your sleep gets better. By getting your sleep better, you work through some behavioral health things, like, you know, like there's so many things that you're addressing by addressing your rest and energy cycle. And I mean, libido, like all these things, like, I mean, confidence, like there's so much that goes into it. It's not just a single factor thing. So the stories are a lot. I will use them, and I even kind of, so I have a patient named Eric, hypothetically. Eric's good. So yeah, we'll call it Eric. Right. So we'll call it Eric. So a patient, Eric shows up. He's like, all right, I'm, you know, hey bro, you're tracking to like not be alive much longer if we don't unfuck this.
Yep.
Right. Pushing 300 pounds, sitting in a recliner, all these things. This dude's out lifting, running, going on trips with his kids, going out of the country, doing all of these things, job satisfaction, life satisfaction, all these things. And I watch it every time I see this guy comes in, he's doing better. And it gave him his life back.
Yeah.
Now there were some other things that went into it, but just doing that and adjusting all of those things and all of those metabolic things that were an issue.
Yep.
We got them under control. We got him off so many medications, reduced the side effect profiles, but right. So much that he's just exponentially better than he was. I mean, there's all of that stuff.
Yeah. And that's what speaks to my heart. Like just hearing those stories, right? So dramatic improvement in quality of life.
Yeah.
And because I see so many men, right? The benefit of working in a retail space,
mm-hmm.
I see 200 men a day, you know, they come in for various things. And like some of these guys are, they're dead inside.
Yeah.
Right there, you mentioned like libido. They have no libido. They have no will to go out and do a good job. They're wanting to be a good dad. They're wanting to have energy. They're wanting to go play with their kid. They can't seem to get it done. So when I hear stories like that, it really speaks to my heart and why I love this topic. Yeah. And I'll say too, from a pharmacy perspective, these patients, whether it be men or women who are properly being prescribed hormones, these people are just like, they're a different breed. Mostly mm-hmm. people come to me, they're sick, they're depressed, they're not mm-hmm. feeling well, potentially having the worst day of their life, right? And you see these patients come in and they're vibrant and useful and they're crisp and they're loving life and they're in a just a great, great headspace. So awesome. Well, anything else?
No, I mean, if you got any other questions, you can DM us, you can hit us up on the comment section, and we'll try to get back to you.
Yeah, we'd love to answer those. And we're going to deep dive a lot of these other sections over time. We didn't really get into, you know, what are some of the natural ways that you can boost testosterone? You know, what are some of the early therapies? We can talk a little bit about HCG. We'll talk more about that in a future episode. But so episode one of the dose adjustment. Hope you all have a good day.
Later.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only, and it does not establish a physician-patient or pharmacist-patient relationship. The opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are their own and do not constitute medical advice. This content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Always consult with a licensed healthcare provider in your area before making any changes to your personal healthcare regimen or acting on any medical information shared in this podcast.